Thank you, Aaron, and good evening, everyone. The Board of Supervisors got an annual update from the Headwaters Fund at this morning's meeting. Zach Zwerdling of the Headwaters Fund Board highlighted some of the successes the board has had in the past year in granting funds to local groups, including the Fisherman's Terminal in Eureka, broadband redundancy, technology training for local businesses, and working to recruit another airline to the airport. Zwerdling also pointed out that the fund's assets are nearly the same as when the fund was established, with just over $18 million in three funds, the Grant Fund, the Community Investment Fund, and the Revolving Loan Fund. The board also discussed a proposal brought forth by Supervisor Jimmy Smith to have staff create a public ordinance for the use of county properties. The proposal was sparked by the continuing Occupy protest, which were using the lawn in front of the courthouse until they were moved by a joint effort between the city of Eureka and the county. Citing safety and health concerns, tents put up by protesters were banned and taken down. And although protesters are allowed to remain in front of the courthouse 24 hours a day, they are not allowed to set up temporary shelter while doing so. Public comment was at times contentious about the idea of creating the ordinance, and board members also chimed in, with Supervisor Lovelace asking that other public and private agencies be involved in the process of creating the ordinance. The board voted unanimously to have Chief Administrative Officer Philip Smith Haynes direct staff to begin preliminary work on the county ordinance, and a second motion by Supervisor Lovelace asked that the City of Eureka, protester groups, and the county be part of any hearings. The item is expected to be back on the agenda in the coming weeks. And County Chief Administrative Officer Philip Smith Haynes provided a state budget update to the Board of Supervisors this afternoon and some of the potential impacts it could have on county finances. Smith Haynes pointed out that there are questions from the Legislative Analyst's Office about some of the numbers provided by the Governor's Office, particularly projected revenue from two proposed tax initiatives, which will go before voters in November. Those two initiatives, one, an increase in the state sales tax and a tax hike on Californians making more than $250,000 a year, are projected to bring in about $4.4 billion, a number the LAO's office disputes. Regardless, if revenues are not increased over the next fiscal year, the state faces triggered cuts to services to the tune of more than $5 billion. The state was forced to absorb more than $1 billion in cuts last year, so a fivefold increase could have some serious impacts to education funding and health and human services, where the bulk of the cuts are directed. And at just past 11 o'clock this morning, a 57-year-old man approached the front counter at the Fortuna Police Department holding the side of his neck where he was bleeding from a stab wound. A follow-up investigation led to the arrest of 23-year-old Randy Elizabeth Barton of Fortuna, who lives with the man on Ronerville Road. Barton was taken into custody without incident and faces several felony charges, including violation of probation and assault with a deadly weapon. The victim was taken to the hospital for treatment of his injuries. You're listening to KINS North Coast News. We'll be right back after this.
Here's Redwood Capital Bank customer C.C. Walker of Praxis Fitness.
I've been a customer of Redwood Capital Bank for 3 years. I love the excellent, friendly service I receive. I've never had a relationship with a financial institution like I do with Redwood Capital Bank. They know me, they know what I need, and they're always there to help. The personal connection I've experienced with Redwood Capital Bank is above and beyond any other financial institution.
We believe in living our values every day.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you.
You're listening to KINS News and Information. We can expect high winds with gusts upwards of 40 to 50 miles an hour overnight as a series of storm fronts begin to move through the area. The National Weather Service is warning that high winds could cause tree branches to be blown down, and there is always the risk of power poles being damaged as well. Troy Nicolini of the Eureka Weather Office also pointed out that as you head east, be prepared for snow levels down to 1,500 feet, and predictions of up to 8 inches of snow have been forecasted for eastern Humboldt and Trinity counties. Heavy rains could also mean a rapid rise in local river levels, and seeing as though it's the first storm of the season, that means a lot of debris could be caught up in those rivers as well. If the rains do come as expected, localized flooding will have an effect, particularly along coastal areas. King Salmon has been issued a flood warning, as well as low-lying areas along Humboldt Bay. And one more storm warning, if you're headed north, be prepared for more rain and higher winds. Southern Oregon up to Port Orford is expecting up to 8 inches of rain over the coming days with wind gusts that could top off at over 60 miles an hour. Again, if you're planning on traveling, take into account the severe weather warnings and be prepared for localized flooding along primary routes. And crab fishermen have been hauling in their catch since Sunday, and the price they are getting per pound, $3, is as high as any price in recent memory. Boats from Eureka and Crescent City Harbor have been out and report good-sized crab. The crab must average 26% meat mass before they are ready to be caught and processed, and the crab season was delayed by 6 weeks, the longest delay in 20 years. Crescent City Harbor, still recovering from the effects of last year's tsunami, has approximately 85 temporary slips available for the fishing boats, a decrease from a year ago when 165 slips were available. And that's your KINS North Coast News. I'm Dan Squire.